Blog Talk Radio.
Tell me a secret. I don't just want to know about any secret of yours. I want to know about one special secret. Because tonight I want to learn all about the secrets in your garden.
You are inside Honey Soul Radio. Sit back, relax, and enjoy the ride as we add some honey to your flavor and sweeten your erotic senses. Honey Soul Radio, welcome.
Thank you.
Welcome, welcome to the sweetest show on internet radio, Honey Soul Radio. I am your hostess, sexual empowerment coach and love connoisseur, the Honey Diva. I am usually joined by my sexy co-host, love coaching sexpert, Miss Lady T. However, she's out for the evening, so we're going to go ahead and send her some love energy. Now, in this episode of Honey Soul Radio, we are discussing self-pleasure for healing sexual trauma through tantra. We are visited by our very special guest, tantric healer Stevie Ward. We will explore our access into our birthright of sexual self-expression and reclaim our fullest sexual pleasure potential by releasing sexual shame and fear within our soul imprints through the arts and healing arts of tantra. Now, I find this to be exceptional this evening because I've actually been experiencing a heightened state of awareness through my own self-pleasure. I've been practicing some self-love rituals that has enhanced my orgasmic potential. I've actually learned to transcend to some degree because of these self-love rituals that I've been actually experiencing by self-pleasuring myself and masturbating. I've been using a crystal, rose quartz crystal wand and a rose quartz crystal yoni egg, and I've been actually incorporating that in my self-pleasure. So with conscious breathing, meditation, visualization, and actually orgasmic delay, I've been learning how to heighten my sexual orgasmic awareness, and it has been phenomenal, and it is definitely helping me to heal with some of my issues of trust and fear, you know, when coming into relationships. And it's helped me to be even more confident and have more self-esteem. So I'm really excited that we have a DB here with us this evening, because we're going to discuss how to obtain sexual freedom and also get in tune to our fullest sexual potential by releasing some of our issues of sexual shame and fear and guilt. And she's going to help us do that through the art of tantra. Now, Dee Dee Ward is an author, a radio show personality, a certified tantric healer, certified authentic tantra educator, co-founder of the Authentic Tantra Sexual Education. She is a qualified tantrika, one of two people in North America, in the United States, who is qualified to teach the secret Tibetan five elements of sexual tantra. She is a survivor of sexual abuse and physical trauma, and she calls upon her own experiences of sexual healing and personal transformation to support and guide us through the process of reclaiming our sexual selves and our sexual awareness. Okay, once stripper, erotic dancer, monk, tantrika, she is awesome. How are you doing this evening, Debbie?
I am doing very well, Tracy. It's wonderful to be here with you. Thanks for having me on.
Yes, I am so glad. I've been studying, you know, me being a teacher and a healer, and me being very young in what I'm doing, I always look to go to people who can also teach me and enlighten me. I always say, healers need healing too. So with that, you are definitely one of the people that come up in my radar. You all up in my circumference, sister. You are.
Well, that's an honor to be showing up on your radar. Blip, blip.
Yes. Beep, beep, beep. There's Debbie. So yes. And, you know, I've watched you on YouTube. I've went to your webpage, which is DebbieWard.com, DEVIWARD.com, for those of you who are listening. I'll also put that up in the chat room. And I have, and you've written for different blog pieces, and we're friends on Facebook, Twitter, Google, and LinkedIn. And I just kind of followed you, and I've really been listening to your healing modalities. And they've actually resonated with me. You and a couple of other people have helped me to open up and become more spiritually conscious during my sexuality. So as I was saying, what I've been doing is I've been actually incorporating a rose quartz, and I've been self-pleasuring. And once I reach a heightened state of about to, you know, on that climax before I orgasm, I stop. And when I stop, I begin to pray, and I begin to say affirmations, and I begin to call forth from the universe the abundance that is rightfully mine. And I stop, and I'll take that rose quartz, and I'll put it up on my womb area, and I'll breathe consciously, and I also bring it up to my heart chakra, and I breathe consciously, and I internalize, and as I'm breathing in, I'm releasing out from my sacral chakra and my heart chakra, and I'm doing this at least 20 to 30 times before I actually have a release. Sometimes I won't even have a release. I'll just build up all that conscious, you know, creative, orgasmic energy flow and walk around with this significant glow. So it was really affirming when I read Tantric Masturbation by you. It was really affirming to what it was that I was already implementing in my life as far as my healing process. So let's talk a little bit about that, tantric masturbation. What is that, Dee Dee?
Well, it's a keyword. it's an SEO, search engine optimization keyword, actually. I've been calling it self-pleasure for years and years until I found out that people actually call it tantric masturbation, and that's how I show up in search engines. So I was like, okay, well, let's call it that then.
I like self-pleasure. I think self-pleasure is really – I love self-pleasure. But, yeah, you got to – hey, whatever keyword is working, you got to
– Yeah, or you know, traditionally I was trained – when I was training in Tantra, we called it solo Tantra. So it was my solo Tantra self-pleasure night, right? And that was part of my training, my homework in Tantra. There's a concept in Tantra that – you know, you have to have a partner, and for some practices, yes, but much of your fundamental and foundational healing and also training in the high sacred sex art of Tantra is going to come from your solo Tantra practice. So you have to, you know, just kind of like before you go out and play basketball in the court with the whole team, you have to do your practice. You have to do your solo shots and your dribbles and all that stuff. So that's what your solo Tantra practice is. It's really learning your body, learning your own yogic energies, learning how to ride the wave of your pleasure, learning how to peak and relax and plateau. For me, it was instrumental in healing most of my really, really deep-seated sexual trauma. Happened and continues to happen in my solo Tantra practice. So tantric masturbation, you know, whatever word you call it by, basically it's conscious sexual practice. It's sacred sexual practice. And when I say sacred, I don't mean like woo-woo, you know, lights and fairies and angels, though if that's your experience, that's great. When I say sacred, I mean accepting our sexuality as an inherent, natural, innocent, beautiful expression of our humanity. That's what I mean by sacred. It's innocent, it's natural, it's beautiful, it's as honorable as breathing, and it's as necessary and natural for us as breathing. And yes. So approaching our sexuality from a standpoint of playfulness and innocence and curiosity and honor, honoring our bodies and honoring our genitals and honoring our pleasure. And, you know, and the there's little routines you can set up. Like, I have a whole self-pleasure practice that I teach women, a whole, you know, quote-unquote tantric masturbation practice. And the article that you read, that's just the beginning. That's just the warm-up. So the clitoral stimulation,
right.
The clitoral pleasure is just step one, because women were capable of over 11 different kinds of orgasm. So when we start getting into vaginal orgasms, it's not a case of, you know, do I release or don't I release? When we start getting into vaginal orgasms, that's when we really start accessing our full human potential as women. Our full female potential is when
that's
we begin
right.
having these really profound and powerful
mm-hmm.
vaginal orgasms that are just, you know, literally stimulate different areas of the brain.
That's amazing. So I did hear you say in one of your videos that there were 11 orgasmic expressions for women. Can we go ahead and tell our listeners what those orgasmic expressions are?
Yeah, there's actually over 11 different orgasms. And I want to explain that the reason that we're able to have these different, I call them like orgasm zones or hot spots, pleasure zones, in and around the vagina is because of the way the erectile tissue is dispersed throughout our genital organs, but also the way the pelvis and the genitals are, it's called innervated. So the way the nerves come into the
uh-huh.
pelvis and split and split and split. So anywhere there's a split or where other nerves come together, that's a nerve plexus. And those tend to be super erogenous, very pleasurable zones.
Right.
So.
Uh-huh.
And if anyone's wanting to learn more about this, I recommend reading Sherry Winston's book, Women's Anatomy of Arousal, as well as Naomi Wolf's book, Vagina, A New Biography. So those are two incredible, fabulous books that talk about the science and the anatomy of women's sexual pleasure and women's sexual arousal. So just wanting to give reference to those two books, because that's where I've gained a lot of knowledge and a lot of information, so I want to give them credit. So the 11
yes.
different orgasms are clitoral orgasms, as you know, most women are familiar with clitoral orgasms, and
right.
for most, and then G-spot orgasms,
mm-hmm.
A-spot or A-zone, anterior fornix
right.
erogenous zone, cervical orgasms,
uh-huh.
P-spot, which is the posterior fornix erogenous zone, uterine orgasms, urethral orgasms, blended orgasms, which are usually a combination of clitoris and G-spot, or clitoris,
exactly,
ejaculatory orgasms, anal orgasms, orgasms from having our nipples stimulated, whole-body
uh-huh.
orgasms, and then there's actually the hands-free orgasm, which is, or the corgasm. So that's stimulated usually from, you know, flexing and releasing and contracting the pelvic floor muscles. I have them when I use my Jade Benoit ball and do my Jade Benoit ball exercises. I frequently have those whole-body, like, energy orgasms,
yes,
or spinal
yes.
orgasms, the hands-free
mm-hmm.
orgasms. And then also I know in the news, and I don't know if this is the same thing because I've never had the experience, but I remember in the news like a few months back they were talking about corgasms. So women do like sit-ups.
They were saying they were having them in the gym.
Yeah, and I think that's because of the pelvic floor thing, but I'm not sure because I didn't actually like read the full article.
We didn't study
but,
that.
You know, but,
right, yeah. Yeah, I understood that there was, it was the pelvic floor muscles and it would have been generated and having that repetition, it was the energy, you know, was being more stimulated in that area and causing, you know, orgasm. So, yeah, that's a great workout.
Right, so that would be another kind of a hands-free orgasm. And yeah, exactly.
Now,
shoot, if I'm having orgasms at the gym, doing sit-ups, that's
yeah.
so inspirational for doing more sit-ups, right?
Let's go. Yes. Well, I actually counted 14 from what you said, and I think that is phenomenal. And not only, can we have, you know, more than 11 type of orgasmic expressions, we have, you know, external orgasms, internal orgasms, blended orgasms. Then you also have multi-layered orgasm, multi-orgasmic, you know, there's so many different ways and opportunities to feel this phenomenal sexual, you know, orgasmic pleasure. And so what I've recognized is, you know, I always, you know, I've studied that there's over 9 levels of orgasm. So in during this peak process of this, you know, chi and kundalini energy generating itself and rising upward, I've recognized that many of us, we don't know that, so we usually start right around the 4th and 5th level. We don't, we feel all this energy mustering up and generating, and as humans, especially in this Western philosophy and what we've been taught, you know, through sexuality and conditioned, we believe that somehow in our psyche, like, this orgasm is going to get away from us. And, like, orgasm is just like the goal. It's like, you know, coming is the goal. You know, nutting is the goal. Orgasm is the goal. And by going into this sexual relationship and with this intimacy for your lover and your partner, with orgasm being the goal, it's like we're missing so much in between. Let's talk a little bit about that.
Well, right, yeah, that's a really good point with orgasm as the goal. And what I like to point out is that in our culture, we as women, our frame of reference, what we see modeled to us in the world of sexuality, as far as, you know, the goal of sex, is what we get from movies and what we get from media and what we get from porn, right? And so a lot of women think that our orgasm is supposed to be just like guys, right? They come once and then they're done. And so for women, they think if they have an orgasm, they're done. And that's just not the case. Like, women, our ability to ride the wave of orgasm is almost infinite. And especially when you start getting into the vaginal orgasms and the 11 different types, there's really no end. Well, we'll stop when we're exhausted, not because we've ejaculated or we've come, right? Whereas with guys, when they ejaculate, they go through a refractory period. For women, we don't have that same refractory period. We do when it comes just to clitoral orgasms, but clitoral orgasms are just the tip of the iceberg, really. And so in these different levels of orgasm that you're talking about, the way I understand it is more from an anatomical perspective. And that is the fact that women, we have as much erectile tissue internally as a man has externally, right? In fact, we have more. It just takes us anywhere from 20 to 45 minutes for that erectile tissue to be fully engorged. So, you know, say it takes a good 45 minutes for our instrument to be totally turned on, right? So the orgasm that we have, or the orgasmic sensation that we have 10 minutes into our stimulation, is going to be completely different than the type of orgasm that we have an hour in. You know, and I can speak from personal experience and talking with my students. It's like, absolutely, when you start, you can have an orgasm 10 minutes in, you can have an orgasm 20 minutes in, and if you stop there, then you never get to go beyond that point. But if you keep going and keep cultivating and keep cultivating your pleasure, then you start to get into these higher realms or these higher states of orgasmic consciousness, I like to call it, because it really is an altered and expanded state of consciousness, right? So it's interesting because I think that a lot of the instruction about holding off your orgasm comes from sexual instructions from men, because they have to hold off, because if they ejaculate, it's over. Whereas women, yes, when it comes to clitoral orgasms, we don't want to go over the edge too fast, because most women, you know, most of us will just go roll over and fall asleep. But when we start moving into vaginal, but when we start retraining our nervous system, when we start moving into the vaginal and the blended orgasms, and we start moving beyond our current frame of reference of sexuality, it's not a case of holding off on orgasm. It's keep having orgasms. In fact, orgasms get the ball rolling, and you just keep going with them, right? So it's like, why not have orgasms? Have as many as you possibly can, because they're infinite and they're limitless. There is no end. Does that make sense?
That makes a lot of sense to me, because, like I said, most people are, the goal is the orgasm. And as I like to say, for me, and what I like to share with my women, my clients, and those who listen or want to even, you know, get the information, is that it's not as much about the orgasm as the journey. You know, yes, the pleasure, the intimacy, the involvement, the moment, you know? And I think we miss so much because we're always just anticipating that goal of orgasm.
Right, and I share with men and women worldwide that orgasm. Sorry, my phone's going off. I'll let that pass. I share with men and women worldwide that orgasm is not the goal, that pleasure is the goal, and orgasm
yes.
is the body's natural response to pleasure. So it's like we get, so especially as women, we're like, oh, you know, why can't we orgasm? We get all tense about it. And the reality is that orgasm is natural and as easy as breathing. It's a natural function of your body. You just have to give it enough time, and you have to, you know, relax, and you have to be present for the experience. So instead of focusing on when am I going to get to have an orgasm, let's focus on the pleasure. And that's what that that article about orgasmic awareness and tantric masturbation is all about. It's an exercise in just cultivating orgasmic awareness, pleasure awareness, how much, you know, just observing and watching the pleasure, the different stages of arousal that we go through as women. Notice what your clitoris feels like 5 minutes in as opposed to 20 minutes in, so you can experience for yourself, wow, after 20 minutes,
right.
I'm really, really turned on, as opposed to 5 minutes, it's okay, but it's not, you know, not super great. So we get to really observe our arousal process. There's no hurry. There's no rush. It's just us and our bodies, us and our breath, and just observe the way that pleasure rises and flows throughout the different meridians, throughout your energy
yes.
channels. And just be present with yourself. And it's a beautiful, beautiful exercise. I mean, it takes from a few different modalities. One is deliberate orgasm, which gave birth to the orgasmic meditation movement. And so, you know, again, referencing where I got the idea and where I got some of the technique. And then I just added some, you know, some of my tantra to it. I added the awareness, the breathing, the vulva massage, the really connecting the heart and the genitals before beginning the practice, so that it makes it a very nurturing and holistic experience.
Beautiful, beautiful. Now, I would like, what for you? We've had different, you know, guests come on, some know tantra, some think they know tantra, some talk about tantra. But with that, what I want to say is for everyone, it's like tantra is different for everyone. I've heard so many different definitions of what tantra is. Now, coming from the school of thought where you come from and your tantrika, background and monk background and learning from, you know, some of the masters. Can you tell us what is tantra for you? What is tantra?
Oh, tantra, the best way to explain tantra is as a form of yoga. And actually in the Tibetan texts, in the Indian texts, it is a form of yoga. It's tantra yoga. So then you get into the reality that there's different styles of yoga, right? There's Hatha yoga, there's Kundalini yoga, there's Bikram yoga, and every different style of yoga has different practices associated with it. So same with tantra. Tantra is a form of yoga, and it, you know, depending on whether you're trained in Indian-style tantra or Tibetan-style tantra or Chinese-style tantra or Native American, you know, so-called tantra, that's going to determine what you practice, the methods that you use, and your approach to sexuality. So I was trained primarily in Tibetan Buddhist tantra. And in that lineage, tantra literally means to weave light and sound with form. So the form is the body, the light is visualization, and the sound is mantra. And it is a meditative practice that's done first non-sexually in order to establish a foundation of practice, and then you can add these instructions to your sexuality. So in Tibetan Buddhism, the monks are practice tantra. They're tantrikas because they're practicing. They weave light and sound form. That's, you know, the basis. It's a style of Buddhist practice, tantric Buddhism. But they're doing their non-sexual tantra practice. And then there's also sexual tantrikas, of which I am one. And so I weave the non-sexual practices with sexual practices. That being said, Tibetan Buddhist tantra is very, it can be very dry. You know, it's very like method oriented. It's not very sexy. It's all about, you know, spiritual realization and using the yogic energies of the body to transform consciousness and to heal. And, you know, and it's amazing and ecstatic and incredible. But for Western people, it's not very sexy, right? So we blended it with Western sexual techniques and Indian techniques. So like the Kama Sutra, which is, you know, the art of sensuality and communication, you know, how to talk to each other, how to talk to your lover, how to communicate during sex. And then also things like sexual healing, because the Tibetans aren't necessarily like sexual healers, right? So using somatic sexual healing practices to release trauma from the body, using breath practices to release the trauma from the body. So, you know, many people who are trained in Western Tantra and Indian Tantra, they acknowledge there's four pillars of Tantra, and those are movement, sound, breath, and awareness or touch. I can't remember exactly what those four pillars are other than movement, sound, and breath. That's the three things that I remember. So, but in Tibetan Tantra, we don't necessarily have those same four pillars because the focus is different. So usually in any Tantra practice, you're going to find that. You're going to find movement practices, whether the movement is your whole body or just, you know, your hands and your fingers on the genitals or sex, you know, or the sexual movement. You're going to find breathing practices because the breathing helps facilitate the movement of energy through the body. You're usually going to find some kind of sound practice. You know, sounds are encouraged. Sounds also facilitate the movement of energy through the body. And in Tibetan Tantra, the sound is mantra. It's actually mantric syllables that are recited. And then awareness practices, so cultivating meditative focus, because, you know, in order to have these high orgasmic experiences, we have to be present, relaxed, and focused and aware in the body. And so that's one of the biggest blocks for people, is actually getting out of the head and getting into the body.
Yes, say that one more time. Getting out of the head
and into the body. Yeah, and you know, and the thing to understand, exactly.
I think that's a challenge for most of us. I think that's a challenge for most of us, because we base a lot of our activity on emotion. You know, we do. You know, it goes from thought to emotion, to emotion to thought, and most of the time we're very reactionary based on emotion. So being able to focus and breathe, if many of us would just stop and just focus and breathe and release that breath and really focus, we probably wouldn't get in, you know, do some things that were unnecessary for that certain experience. I find that a lot of us get into, you know, cause more challenges in our experience due to the fact that we're not necessarily thinking clearly because we are moving based on our emotion. So, yes, getting out of our head and into our body and really focusing and breathing would definitely, you know, I'm like my boy, what's his name, Simmons. He's actually one of my abundance mentors. And he says he don't do shit till he meditates, you know.
Right, yeah. Well, that's the thing. I've been teaching recently, like, so when I was a monk of the Ashaya Order, one of the things that we taught was that we have over, you know, 200,000 conflicting thoughts per day, and that was, like, 10 years ago. So I'm sure it's, you know, with technology and everything, like, oh, my God,
right.
Talk about, like, you know, multitasking and split focus. So I've been saying, you know, we have probably close to 500,000 conflicting thoughts, like conflicting.
Right.
That means like arguing in our heads every day.
And I think that is also confirmed by this so-called diagnosis of ADHD.
Exactly.
Thoughts are everywhere. You can't focus. They're everywhere. It's the scatterbrain, you know?
Exactly.
Yes.
And that's simply mind training, right? So part of, for me, the foundational Tantra practice, the number one, the place that I start with everybody is meditation. Because it doesn't matter what I teach you as far as your G-spot or, you know, sex, whatever. If you can't focus, all of that is, like, bullshit. You know, you're not going to be able to do anything.
It's null and void.
It's null and void.
Yeah.
Exactly. It's null and void. So the first thing we need to do is to cultivate cultivate presence, right? And again, what I teach is if you're not present outside of the bedroom, how do you expect yourself to be present in the bedroom, right? If, you know, it's like there's no separation. So to just expect that all of a sudden you're going to be out of your head and into your body when sex starts is just purely, that's ridiculous, right? And it doesn't happen.
Right.
So your foundational sexual practice is your daily meditation.
Great. Now we're going to go ahead and take a five-minute honey soul break. For those of you who are joining us, because I see that the studio board is full, I want to thank all of you for being here. We could not make this happen and do this without you. We appreciate your support. If you'd like to call in, if you have a question or a comment for Honey Soul Radio or Dee Dee Ward, give us a call at 323-784-3608, or you can also join us in the chat room, blogtalkradio.com/honeysoul. We are joined by our special guest, Dee Dee Ward, certified tantric healer. We are discussing self-pleasure for healing sexual trauma through tantra. And when we come back, we are going to discuss how tantra can heal sexual trauma. Stay right here. Stick and stay. Honey Soul Radio.
I don't want to give you up. I don't want to hold you up. I don't want ambiguous. I just know that I've had enough. I want you to travel with me. Get it loose and let your mind go free. Show you things that you never see. But you just got to go with me. Oh, your love is so good that I wanna show you.
Enjoy an evening of pleasure with some of our sexiest guests. Honey Soul Radio for the grown and sexy.
Welcome back to the sweetest show on Internet Radio, Honey Soul Radio. I am your hostess, sexual empowerment coach and love connoisseur, the Honey Diva. And in this episode of Honey Soul Radio, we are discussing sexual pleasure for healing sexual trauma through Tantra with tantric healer Debbie Ward. She is an author, radio show personality, certified tantric healer, certified authentic Tantra educator, co-founder of Authentic Tantra Sexual Education. She is a qualified tantrika in Tibetan Buddhism. She is one of two people in North America qualified to teach the secret Tibetan five-element sexual tantra. She is a survivor of sexual abuse and physical trauma and calls upon her own experience of sexual healing and personal transformation to guide and support us through the process of reclaiming our sexual and beautiful selves. You can find out more about Debbie at www.debbieward.com. Welcome back, Debbie. How are you feeling?
I'm feeling wonderful. It's such a pleasure to be here.
Good, good. Did you ever get your glass of red wine? Because I sure have mine.
Oh, I'm drinking sake, girl. Red wine has too much sugar for me.
Yes, ma'am. It is one of those evenings, and I thank you so much for being here. And thank those of you who are joining us this evening in the chat room, also in the studio. If you'd like to get in on this delicious conversation of self-discovery, call 323-784-3608 and get in on this honey, sweet topic. Now, Debbie,
yes,
many of us have experienced sexual trauma in some form. We've either been violated emotionally. Most of the times it's physical, emotional, and spiritual. I mean, sexual trauma, sexual abuse can violate us to the core. I am also a survivor of sexual abuse. I wouldn't even call it as much as abuse, as much as sexual molestation, sexual manipulation. My issue coming up was I was young. I was at a very ripe age to where I could actually experience sexual pleasure. So during my sexual molestation encounter violation, which I didn't necessarily know that that's what was going on, even though I knew I was supposed to keep the secret, I was finding pleasure. So when it's really started coming and resonating to me that, you know, this is wrong, this is a manipulation, and usually our sexual perpetrators, when they come after their victims, it's usually because they have some type of authoritative role over the victim. Okay, it's either, you know, boss, coworker, pimp to hoe, it's father to daughter, you know, mother to son, it's brother to sister, it's some type of authoritative figure. It's a process of power and control. And so when it really came to me that this was, you know, wrong, this wasn't good, this was manipulation, I didn't want it anymore, however, I felt like I had to keep doing it, I also was experiencing sexual pleasure, which made my sexual experiences, anything after that, made my sexual experiences in my journey very hard for me to experience pleasure in its totality, because I had all these issues of guilt, shame. I associated every pleasurable sexual response with the violation, and this is not right, this is not good, I'm not supposed to feel like this, when in all essence, it was a natural sexual response.
Yeah.
However, the sexual molestation and that experience was the violation, not the sexual response. And it took me years to separate the two, to separate the sexual violation
from the natural sexual response. It took years to get there. So right now I want to share with our listeners how Tantra can heal us from those types of issues when it comes to sexual abuse, trauma, and violations.
Well, I think, you know, what you pointed out about it taking years is very pertinent, because we have this expectation that we're going to wave a magic wand and, you know, it's going to be a quick fix. And I want to say that, like, we are all on a lifelong journey of healing. Like, there's layers
right.
of the onion. And
yes.
you know, for my personal journeys, I'm through a lot of layers really, really, really quickly. So the journey from, like, numbness to orgasm can happen in one night. But just because we've reached, you know, orgasm doesn't mean that the healing is over, right? So I continuously cycle through times where I'm healing a deeper layer of sexual trauma, or, you know, right now in my life, in my personal life, I'm going through a divorce. And it's really emotionally, you know, challenging for me. And in my self-pleasure, I'm noticing, oh, wow, I've got pain in my G-spot that's associated with emotions surrounding, you know, my husband and the feelings associated with that. And, you know, and so, you know, trauma and trauma is defined, literally defined as any experience in which the nervous system feels threatened. So this can be, you know, whether we're consciously aware of a threat or not. We don't have to be consciously aware that we're threatened in order for the body to sort as a trauma. But also, aside from trauma, there's emotions. And especially for women, we have heartbreak, right? So, you know, so if we're having an intimate emotional relationship with a partner and we experience, some sort of, I'm going to call it emotional violation, or even emotional abuse, or, you know, or devastation, that is absolutely going to affect our sexuality, and it's absolutely going to be stored particularly in the genital tissue. So I guess what I want to share most is to understand that the journey of sexual healing is multifaceted and multi-layered, and to just really, like, relax around it. Like, it's not going to happen overnight. Take it on as a path of self-love and take it on as a practice. So just like we would take on yoga, right, as a health and wellness practice, or, you know, or healthy eating. We're going to do that for the rest of our life. It's not just I'm going to eat healthy for this week and then I'm going to go back to McDonald's, right? It's no, I'm going to eat healthy for the rest of my life. It's a daily choice that we make every day to do practices that regenerate us, that cultivate health and wellness in mind, body, and spirit. So sexual healing is the same thing. It is a practice that we cultivate on a daily basis to bring about health in mind, body, spirit, and sex, because they're all interrelated. There's no separation between our sexuality and our mind, body, and spirit. They are all one unit. And so what happens in one area of our life is absolutely going to happen. It's going to have ripple effects in every other area of our life.
Oh, so, I'm so glad you said that. I'm so glad you said that. We are multidimensional, and we are multifaceted. And just like we're mind, body, and spirit, everything that goes on, every experience that we have in our life, like you said, has a ripple effect. So it's going to affect us, our body, our mind, and our spirit. It's not just one facet. And many of us really believe that to be so. Okay, I'm dealing with this issue. This is just going on emotionally. But many of us don't understand that it is also affecting other areas of our life equally.
Absolutely. You know, in the Western world, it's like we're taught to compartmentalize everything. You know, it's like we're going to put everything in little freaking boxes and deal with it individually. And the reality is we're it's a whole. It's a whole. Mind, body, spirit, sex is a whole. And just like we are, a mental, emotional, physical, spiritual, sexual being, we also are connected to all other living beings, you know, on our planet. And that's a whole, whatever, living consciously and aware on our planet kind of thing. But it's truth, it's and other Native cultures recognize that and don't try and separate our separate us into these little, like, we're at the butcher, right? We're chopping
right? Yeah, I had this issue the other day. I had this breakdown. I had this real breakthrough, but through the breakthrough, I was breaking down, and I was releasing. This breakthrough, once I began releasing and crying and calling and discussing this and venting and getting this out of me, that it was something that was stuck deep down that needed to raise itself up and come out, I noticed that I immediately started having sinus drainage. My lymph nodes started draining, and my neck, and it was like, and the next morning, it was like I had a scratchy throat. The next morning, I had mucus congestion. I had mucus in my eyes. I was coughing up mucus. I was blowing out mucus. My throat was sore, and I automatically knew. I said, I'm releasing. I'm releasing that emotional trauma. I just had a breakthrough, and it's coming out in my body now, in my physical form. And people don't believe that. And, I was telling myself, she's like, you're really, really sick. You need to go to the doctor. I said, no, my body is releasing this information, this stuff I had stored in me. I had this breakthrough, and it's coming out now. So I'm so glad that you made a point to say that.
Yeah, and it's interesting, especially I'm most familiar with Asian healing modalities because of I lived with a Tibetan healer, for 5 years. So that's my orientation to medicine is through that venue. And absolutely, it's like when we have healing, we do what's called purify. And a lot of our purification symptoms can be physical. So I would go through periods where I felt like I had the flu for an hour. Or 2 hours,
yes.
And it was awful, but my body was shedding this emotional and this vibrational, this energetic, whatever. It was shedding it, and then it would pass, and then it would be I'd be fine, right? Or sometimes the symptoms would last for longer. So there is Western science that backs up the fact that our emotions absolutely, and our thoughts affect our physical body. I think it's biofeedback studies. So what we think is, it can be reflected in energetic changes in certain areas of our body. And in the world of tantra and sexual healing and body-based healing, somatic sexual healing particularly, storing emotions in the body is a process that's called body armoring. And so we literally will numb out. We'll literally, areas of our body will close down. Due to the intensity of the pain, because we don't want to feel it because it hurts.
Right.
So we'll just shut down, totally shut down, and we'll disembody that area of our body. We'll literally come out of it or disassociate from that area of our body. So healing is a process of coming back into the body and re-inhabiting these areas that we've shut ourselves off from. And often one of the first symptoms is actually feeling that pain. So the healing process, and this was fundamental for me to learn early on in my tantra training, it was so valuable. The healing process that we go through, and this is physical, emotional, mental, spiritual, the process is we go from numb to pain to irritation to function. So if you think of when your arm falls asleep or your get frostbite, right? You're frozen, numb, you can't feel anything. But then as the blood, as the energy, as the life force returns to that area, it freaking hurts. It really hurts. And then pins and needles, irritation, and then function is restored. And for our genitals, function means pleasure.
So when it comes to sexual trauma, having to, when we store that energy and say, we've had this sexual violation experience and we store that energy, and in order to deal with it, we have to bring it back up because we have to go through the pain and we have to work through that energy. I find for me what really helped, you know, because it's such an intimate issue that's not readily talked about. What helped me was a lot of journaling. Lots and lots of journaling, because I was able to say in my journal what I necessarily probably could not say to the, you know, the perpetrator, to my mom, to my friends, to my close, you know, my lovers, what I felt ashamed to say or what I just didn't feel like needed to be exposed, I was able to release in that journal. And that really, really helped me. So I'm just really curious to know, how does self-pleasuring in Tantra help to release that fear and that shame and that pain of sexual trauma?
Well, again, it's so multifaceted. So absolutely, one aspect, like you shared, is, you know, when the stuff comes up is to talk about it, write about it, you know, or and I recommend people having some sort of coach or professional or somebody that they can go to help them process emotions. I have, you know, a few people like that in my life, because it's so vital. We need, you know, we absolutely need support in processing emotion, and especially in dealing with something like sexual abuse, having an expert in the field who can recognize some of the very common symptoms and signs and behavioral patterns that occur as a result of that. It's just so helpful to have some support in that arena. How Tantra can do it specifically is it creates the space for that energetic imprint to actually be released from the body. So one of the fundamental things to understand about healing any kind of trauma, particularly sexual trauma, is that we can talk about it all day long, but until it's
right,
actually released from the cellular tissue of the body,
it
isn't actually fully healed, right?
Right.
So
yes,
talk therapy is absolutely one level of healing, and it's fabulous. And that must be done in conjunction with some form of somatic body-based healing. So, again, when we're dealing with sexual trauma, the best thing to do is have genital healing. You know, and depending on the practitioner, they're going to have a different recipe for healing and a different recipe for success. So with Tantra specifically, the style of Tantra that I practice and teach, again, the foundational practice is through meditation. You have to cultivate awareness. You have to cultivate some space between you and the thoughts and you and the emotions, so that when the trauma starts to arise, you're able to relax and breathe through it and allow it to actually fully express itself and fully release from the body without freaking out and shutting down. Because that's usually what people do. I know so many people, and like,
yes,
when we're untrained, our reaction, we can be making love or having sex, and then, oh, you know, we hurt and we want to stop, or we have an emotion come up and we want to stop, or we feel irritated and we want to stop. And the thing, those kinds of experiences are not red lights. Those are actually green lights. That means go. That means
process and get through it. Yes.
Yes, exactly.
Yes.
Exactly, but you have to have the right tools. That's important, because if you don't have the right tools, then you're just going to freak out and you can make it worse. So it's important to have the right tools, and that's important. One of the things I really love to do is to teach women how to hold space for themselves, you know, so you can hold space through your own healing process. Or if you're in partnership, I love teaching couples how to hold space for each other. Because it really is a sacred act, you know, and the beauty of our sexuality is that there's so much energy, and it's so profound, and it really takes us to literally the core essence of our being. So any crap that we have stored there is going to, it comes up to be healed. It's like, you know, our consciousness is like, oh, perfect, they're in this state of bliss, this is a perfect time to get rid of this block, let's get rid of it, you know? And so, of course, it's going to come up in those moments. And the important thing to do is to hold space. And the way you hold space is through, you know, having awareness, using your breath, using your touch, and using communication. And those specific tools, those are the specific tools that I actually teach in my workshops and I teach in my private coaching programs. And once you learn them, it's simply a process of working with them. The tools themselves are so simple, right? But it's just you have to understand how and when to use them appropriately in order to support and facilitate the process. And then you need to practice with them, just like with any art, any yoga, whether it's dance, whether it's, you know, hatha yoga. You have to practice. 99.9% of your success is going to come from your practice.
Right, and I understand that, because with anything comes practice and discipline. You know, I was talking with my daughter the other day, and she's one of these very independent young ladies who, I'm going to do it on my own. I'm going to do it on my own. I'm going to figure it out. And I have to tell her all the time, baby, you need a team. No one makes it by themselves, you know, and I think that's where most of us, you know, we get so individualized and we feel like we need to work on our issues alone instead of recruiting a team. And I tell people that, you know, Diane Nadd, that's like one of my inspirations. You know, she's 64 years old. She swam from Cuba into the Americas, you know, across the Atlantic. And she did that at 64, but she tried four times and failed those four times before she finally got it done. But for 4 years, she had a coach and a team to where she practiced and she, you know, got disciplined and she had a regimen and a formula, and she did this, and then she finally made it. So it's really important to get a team that is willing to invest in you and invest in your vision. If it's healing, get a team that is willing to invest in you, invest in your healing. And I think that's where we go about it all wrong. You said a great, great deal when you said that, you know, Western society compartmentalizes everything. And we do that as well as, you know, with our healing. It's like, oh, no, I need to get this, and I need to do this on my own. I need to figure out what to do. But I don't know not one person who has made it on their own. For example, when you go, you know, to the Oscars or the Emmys or even a Soul Train Awards, you know, you hold up that award and the first thing you say is, okay, I want to thank God. And, oh, I want to thank my management. I want to thank my producer. I want to thank my choreographer. I want to, you know, you get to thanking your team. So it's really important to get a team. Don't try to do this alone. Yeah.
Well, right, and there are things that you just simply can't do alone because you have to learn them, right? I mean, it's like if I want to learn how to do a plié and a pirouette, I can read a book about it, but chances are I'm probably not going to be doing it right until I go to a ballet instructor and he or she teaches me how to properly and correctly do a plié and a pirouette and then corrects me on any things I'm doing in, you know, wrong and basically coaches me through the process of doing a very well-executed plié and pirouette. So,
right.
Or cooking. You know, you take a cooking class. It's like I can read about cooking and I can do it to a certain degree, but when you work with a master chef and they show you the fine art of how to chop your carrots on an angle and, you know, whatever else they teach you in cooking class, you're going to make more gourmet meals, right?
Yeah, combined
exactly.
Spices.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So you're going to make gourmet meals. So it's the same with our sex. And unfortunately in our culture, because our culture is one of shame and fear and guilt around sex, we haven't been, I guess, you know, socialized with this concept that sexuality is a healing art. It is a healing art, or can be used as a healing art. And with any healing art, you must have training. You must have education. You must have education. And even if you just want to have better sex, you know, if you want to be a better dancer, again, I go to dance because I'm a dancer. If you want to be a better dancer, you take a dance class, right? If you want to learn Zumba, you get at least a Zumba DVD, you know, you invest in some sort of instruction. So, and I do have to say, because I actually, you know, the difference between watching a DVD or reading a book and getting in-person instruction. So I was a pole dancer for a while in Kauai, and I was watching pole dancing videos, and, you know, and I learned quite a bit. And then I actually invested in, I hired a local pole dancing coach, and holy shit, in 1 hour what I got from her, because she was able to, like, watch what I was doing and be like, oh,
one-on-one.
No, that's, yeah, exactly. And she's like, no, that's not right. Do this. And she showed me, and it was like, oh, my God, in 1 hour, it was like I took my pole dancing from, like, a 5 to a, you know, to a 10, a 10
yes.
to orgasm, right? Took it from a 5 to a 10 in 1 hour because she was able to see what I was doing. She was able to see my blind spots. And because she had the experience, she was a master, right? So so it really, you know, whatever the art is that we want to undertake, we must invest in instruction from someone who's done it and excels in their art.
Right, exactly. So find a great coach and
yeah.
get you a team that supports you and supports your
mm-hmm.
healing. Okay?
Absolutely.
Who's not going to criticize and judge you. So a team
well,
doesn't
no,
necessarily
I mean,
mean, it doesn't have to be a professional team. It can be friends. You know, you want friends that's going to support your healing, that's going to tell you, you know, go get it. I want you to be happy, friend. I want you to find love. That's encouragement. That's part of your team. So be very sure not to get people that are going to criticize you or make you feel bad about your experience, or your violation, or your healing.
Yeah, seriously. I mean, we really, you know, the thing is that the people in our lives are either medicine or poison, or some are neutral, you know. So some people in our lives are neutral, and some people in our lives are medicine, and then there's some people that are poison. And I'm, you know, recently, most recently in my life, I'm like, yep, okay, you got to just cut the poison out, right? So.
Right. Yeah, you do. You really do. So can you give us an example of what you do in your tantra methods to what you teach your students in your tantra methods to heal from sexual trauma? I know in sexual trauma, many of us shut down. Many of us shut down. I did both. I seen that sex, I used sex as a weapon. That's what I did.
Mm-hmm.
I realized that sex had this power that made people, you know, particularly men, very crazy, you know. I mean, not, you know, saying anything, you know, bad or being negative towards my brothers, because I love them, I love men, but it was something that I seen had a very significant power over them, and I used that. And, you know, I was a sex worker for a long time, and I used that as a mode of feeling control and feeling power, where when I was being violated, I felt powerless.
Yeah.
So in with that, I after my stage of being a sex worker, I actually shut down for about 4 or 5 years. And I just, I didn't want to be attractive. I didn't want to attract men. I just kind of went inward and got really reclusive. And I just started going to school and going to college. I wanted to do something different. I just didn't, you know, I don't get me wrong, I enjoyed my sex work, but at the same time, I just wanted to develop my mind. And so that's what I did. But in that process, I also shut down, and it took me a while to come out of that, that space of not even wanting to be touched. So what are some examples of what you do in, you know, with your method of healing, and what do you instruct your clients to do?
Well, so much of it depends, you know, entirely upon the individual person and where they're at. So I can share with you my foundational method. So these are what I call the four principles of pleasure. And those
mm-hmm.
are – sorry, my phone's going off. There we go. It's done.
You little wind cow.
That's my notification that a text has come in.
Oh, okay.
I don't know who it is. If you've been tweeting, it's that. It's my tweet notification. So those are movement, meditation, self-connection, and self-pleasure. So I would have to say that the primary overall method that I share, you know, worldwide with women and men, the number one technique for releasing the imprint of sexual trauma in the body is something I call the ocean breath. And the ocean breath was taught to me by a very well-known tantrika named Carla Tara. She's actually one of, like, the original tantrikas. She's, like, 75. She's amazing. She looks like she's 40. She's incredible.
Oh.
Incredible dynamic.
Okay.
So for those people out there who think that, like, your sex life is over when you're 70, oh, my God, this woman is freaking mind-blowing. She's gorgeous. She looks like she's 40, like, just my age, you know? She's gorgeous. She's a high tantrika. And she's just a phenomenal woman, and she knows her stuff. I mean, she's been teaching and practicing Tantra for probably 30, 40 years. So she developed this method, this tantric method called the ocean breath. And the ocean breath works on, so much of it is multifaceted. It works on many different levels. Number one, it works to relax the nervous system. So most of us are living in a state of, even a mild state of fight or flight, sympathetic nervous system response, right? So that's characterized by, like, shortness of breath, you know, your mind is going a mile a minute, you know, you're breathing just in your upper chest, not into your belly, you feel anxious, you know, you're jittery, whatever, can't focus. That's, you know, sympathetic nervous system. We're ready to run. We're either going to fight or we're going to flight, right? We're either going to fight or we're going to run. So the number one key to getting out of fight or flight response, and this has been medically, scientifically proven, the number one key to flipping the switch, shall we say, from sympathetic nervous system response to parasympathetic, which is rest, relax, creativity, pleasure, play, is through deep breathing, right? Through deep breathing exercises.
Okay.
So the ocean breath is a deep breathing exercise, but it's unique in that it is done with an open mouth. So it's what's described as a yin breath or feminine breath. And there's a very particular way of doing it, and it is very fluid. It's called the ocean breath because it's like the rise and the fall of the ocean. Also, along with that breath, there's a sound that we make, and it's a soothing, sighing sound that we make with each exhalation. And the sound helps to open the throat, activate the throat chakra, but also to release any unconscious tension we're holding in the body. So you literally cannot do this. You cannot do the ocean breath properly and be tense. It's an oxymoron. It's, you know, impossible to do. If you're doing it incorrectly, you can hold tension. But when you're doing the ocean breath the way that it's designed to be done, there's no area of your body that you can be holding tension in. So that is, I would have to say, that is like my cure-all. Women, men, couples, that's the number one method that I teach that is going to facilitate your healing process. And again, not just in your sexual life, but in every area of your life. Like, I do it when I'm breathing. I had an acupuncture treatment today. I was doing it on the table. You're going to use this everywhere. And the more mm-hmm. you use it, the more profound the healing is for you. But specifically during sexual healing and even sexual pleasure, it's also the number one technique that I instruct people in order to achieve, you know, the 11 different orgasms, vaginal orgasms. It's my secret recipe for vaginal orgasms, and also for men learning to become multi-orgasmic and to have non-ejaculatory orgasms. The key for them is they must relax and they must, you know, breathe and open their throat. And so this ocean breath is like, it's the cure-all for pretty much everything.
Okay, great. So you said four things. It was the breathe, meditation. What were the other two?
So it's movement. So moving the body, moving energy, you know, movement. Movement can be touch. It can be translated as touch. So movement, you know, I'd be touching my genitals, stimulating the genitals, you know, moving energy through the body, through breathing and sound, movement, meditation, which is, you know, we talked about. So mindfulness practice, and I specifically teach the Tibetan five element tantras for meditation. They work on a variety of different levels. Self-connection, so understanding what's going on inside of you, connecting to the body, connecting to your heart, connecting to your genitals, and then self-pleasure or self-stimulation. So those are the four principles of what I like, the four principles of pleasure, the four principles of authentic tantra for me, the style of authentic tantra that I teach. Those are the four basic principles, the foundation of the tantra that I practice and teach. And And the thing is the self-pleasure is so important because, as I said, we can talk about our sex all day long, but if we're not actually in there, you know, touching our genitals, learning to relate to our sexual organs and our sexual pleasure in a new way, we're only going to go so far in our healing process.
Now, how can some of us move through our body image issues? Because many of us, because of our sexual violation and our sexual trauma, we have an issue with our bodies because of that, because we feel shame, because we feel like, because our bodies are the ones, you know, because that was my issue. My issue was my body was having this reaction. So I had issues with my body. How do we get past that?
Well, again, using all of the four principles is going to help you with that. So the meditation, one thing about the Tibetan five-element meditations is most people don't understand what five-element means, right, because it's not something we talk about in our culture. But the five elements are earth, water, fire, air, and space. And if you think of it, everything in our material world, including our bodies, is made up of earth, water, fire, air, and space in different balances.
Right.
And one of the core causes of illness, any kind of illness, is an imbalance in one or more of the five elements. Imbalance,
yeah.
Right? In one or more of the five elements in our bodies. So the five elemental practices work to enrich and heal and balance those elemental energies in our bodies. And each of the five elements also relates to one of the five chakras. So we're working literally with the energetic plexus of energy in the body. So one of the most fun, because I've had body issues my whole life too. I've hated my body for, I don't now, but I did for most of my life. People who knew me when I was in the Shaya monk, my God, I would like, I'd be crying. I would cry because I hated my body so much. And people would be like, what are you talking about? You're beautiful. And I'm like, I want to cut off my breasts and, you know, I wanted to, like, mutilate. It was weird. It was bizarre. It was like some kind of disorder, right? But it was like,
yes.
It was crazy insane. So, and I would, like, starve myself, and I wouldn't eat, and I would, you know, do enemas every day, and, like, just all these drastic things because I hated my body.
So did you have eating disorders?
Well, I don't know, not that it was ever diagnosed, but I mean, I wasn't anorectic, but I would I would go on those master cleanses, right, which isn't a bad thing, but I would do it like a lot, and I would starve myself because to get skinny and get rid of cellulite, right? So it wasn't like, I want to be healthy. It's, I hate my body and I want to get rid of my cellulite, so I'm going to not eat for 20 days. And I'm going to put a bunch of stuff up my butt and be really
uncomfortable. And you call it fasting.
Yeah, exactly. And I call it fasting. It's actually torture. This is why I'm you couldn't pay me enough to fast at this point in my life. I'm like, no, I'm just going to... I don't care if I wear a size 8, I'm going to eat.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, you call it fasting and really... for your transparency and your vulnerability. That's beautiful. Yes, I so understand.
I know. I mean, it's one thing if you're going to do it to be healthy. It's another thing if you're going to do it because you're trying to torture yourself, right? And that was totally
yes.
I was a raw foodist. And again, like, nothing against raw foods, but I did it not because I was like, I want to be healthy. It was because I wanted to get rid of my cellulite, you know? So that was it. And I never got rid of mine, just so you know. I had cellulite the whole freaking time.
Keeping it real 101 right here on Honey Soul Radio. We are here being entertained by the beautiful D.V. Ward. Tantric healer, certified authentic tantra educator, and co-founder of Authentic Tantra Sexual Education. We are are discussing self-pleasure for healing sexual trauma through Tantra, and we are exploring accesses into our birthright of sexual self-expression and reclaiming our fullest sexual pleasure potential. We are going to take a Honey Soul 5-minute break. If you'd like to join in on this delicious sexual discovery conversation, please do so by calling 323-784-3608. If you have a comment or question for Honey Soul or for Deedee Ward, go ahead and call in and get in on this honey sweet topic. You can also join us online, blogtalkradio.com/honeysoul. Stick and stay. Be back in 5 minutes. Honey Soul Radio.
Thank you. trying to be funny, but I'm really serious this time, baby. Even though it's a cold world, baby, but you know deep down inside that I do love you. I know I sound strange, but I really mean it. We gonna make it this time, baby.
You're the only one.
I really love it. I'm coming at you with both hands, tied behind my back, baby.
Tuesday evenings have never been sweeter. Honey Soul Radio. Welcome.
Giving daily attention to our yonis, our wounds, deepens our spiritual connection and our intuition. Let's upgrade our sexual fitness levels and sign up for Spirit Halima's 7-day yoni fitness. We will raise our yoni awareness and womb consciousness and ignite our inner seat of power. Join us at CosmicWomb.com. Click the link, 7-day yoni fitness. The Honey Diva is going to get her yoni fitness on, y'all. Will you join me? That's at www.CosmicWomb.com, 7-day yoni fitness. Tell Spirit Halima that the Honey Diva sent you. Now, thank you so much for joining us right here on Honey Soul Radio. I am your hostess, sexual empowerment coach and love connoisseur, the Honey Diva. I am joined usually by my co-host, the sexy and most talented love coach and sexpert, Miss Lady T. However, Miss Lady T isn't here this evening, so we're going to send her vibrations of love and light energy. Now, in this episode of Honey Soul Radio, we are discussing sexual pleasure for healing sexual trauma through Tantra with tantric healer Debbie Ward. How you doing this evening, Debbie?
I am doing really well.
Good, good. We have a caller on the line, caller from 708. You have a question for Debbie Ward this evening. How are you doing?
Hi, I'm doing well. Thanks for having me. And
well, great.
Thanks for both of you being here and having this show, this episode especially. My question is that I understand what the information that you all are sharing about healing and self-pleasure, and I do struggle. I feel like I've actually never had like a full-on orgasm as how I know and imagine it to be with myself or with a partner. And I am aware of sort of the general need, my need to sort of focus more on self-pleasure, but I feel like there is just like a block. Like I have these blocks that just, it's just almost like it takes so much work to make myself actually set aside time, or even if I have plenty of time, it still feels like it's a stretch to actually focus on self-pleasure and give myself permission to go there. And so I'm just wondering if you all have any words to share, any stories, any experience, any specific tips or thoughts.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, as I was sharing earlier, it really helps to have the support of a coach or, like Tracy was saying, a team, you know, because usually it kind of like, you know, you can say you want to go to the gym, and you may go or you may not go, but if you actually have like a personal trainer and you have an appointment with your personal trainer, then you're going to actually go to the gym, right?
Mm-hmm.
Makes sense. So having some sort of support to, and someone that you have to be accountable to, number one, is very helpful. Number two, you know, I can totally relate. It's part of our cultural conditioning as women is to kind of put our pleasure to the side and save it for our man, right? Or save it for
right.
our partner. So absolutely, I can totally relate to that. And the thing is to not struggle with yourself, just be aware, okay, I'm procrastinating now. So, you know, what's going on for me? What? Check in with yourself. What am I feeling? Am I feeling aversion? Am I feeling scared? You know, what is that block about? Because it's one thing to just be like, oh, well, I have a block, but actually go into it and look at it. Just examine it. Like, understand what it is a little bit. So when you think of it right now, what comes up for you?
I think actually, I feel like there's some like fear, some intimidation, and I think the fear, it's almost like one of those things, like I feel like sometimes people know they need to meditate, but they don't meditate, or they know they need to practice yoga, and they don't practice yoga, and it's almost like you're afraid of your own power, you know, and that like, you know that once you connect with your truth, or once you connect with your innermost self, that there's like no turning back. And it's ironic though, because I feel like that is what I want, and that's what I want to practice and want to be and lead by example. But at the same time, it still feels really scary. And yeah, I don't know. I think maybe because, like for me, maybe because of trauma, that it may bring up even some of that trauma, and just like working through the trauma may also come with some negative, uncomfortable feelings. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I don't want to say negative. I don't want to think that way, but I'm just thinking out loud here as far as like, what is that block? You know, where is that block coming from? Where is the fear? You know, is it of having something come up that maybe isn't pleasant? I'm not sure. That's a good question.
So it sounds like it's uncharted territory, right?
Right.
You haven't been there before, and so there's more than a little, it sounds like. There's some hesitancy about actually taking the first few steps and going there.
Yeah.
So, you know, again, it helps to have some support to kind of guide you through and coach you through the process. The other thing is to have, what I would actually recommend is go to my website, davyward.com, and read the blog, the blog I just wrote on Orgasmic Awareness Tantric Masturbation. And that actually is a step-by-step guide to, it's a little 20-minute, shall we say, a formula for you to use, for women to use, to just kind of get present with your body and observe pleasure. We were talking about it at the beginning of the show. So it also helps if you have, like, a practice to do, right? Mm-hmm. So it's again, one thing to say, I want to do yoga, but if you don't know how to do yoga, then it's kind of hard to get started doing yoga. But if you actually have some instruction, then you have a plan of action. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
Yeah.
That might make it seem less, that because it's also intimidating sometimes. Mm-hmm. I think that you're right, that makes it less intimidating, having like
and
a step-by-step.
And you know what? You know, also, a lot of times the reason that we have this fear, we have this intimidation, is because we usually feel like we're alone. And I need to tell you that 90% of the women feel like you do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
Yes. You're not alone.
Yeah.
Well, you know, and also, I encourage you to just be aware that it's part of what you're dealing with is our cultural conditioning as women. We as women are taught to suppress our sexuality and suppress our sexual desire. And so even sometimes if we feel it arise, we kind of push it back down and, oh, not now, maybe later, right? I notice that habit in myself. Mm-hmm. So, again, part of it really is prioritizing. So I really like having it's very helpful to have this kind of framework of 20 minutes, right? Because 20 minutes is easy to commit to. You know, if it's like 2 hours, I'm like, okay, you know, whatever, 2 hours, maybe I'll do it, maybe I won't. But 20 minutes is, and I just want to interject that I start with 20 minutes, and then it usually ends up going longer, because after 20 minutes, I'm totally turned on, and so I want to do more. But if I at least just been like, okay, like, I sit down or lay down, and I can do 20 minutes of this, then that kind of gives my mind the freedom it needs to agree to it.
Yeah. Now that we're talking about this, it reminds me that when I do make time, and I've been better lately, but that it's like, it's very like short. Like I feel like, I don't feel like I'm rushed or rushing, but I just feel like, okay, it's over. Okay, you know, like it wasn't anything super stupendous, spectacular.
You're telling me it's superficial.
I mean, yeah, it still feels good, and I have a release, and I know, like, and I think it's a start, but I feel like it's still even the, yeah, maybe the superficiality of it is still because there's some like uncomfortableness with, you know, really getting to know myself. Yeah.
Absolutely. It's just the tip of the iceberg, right? So I want to give you props for A, even doing it, because that's, you know, at least you're taking action. And B, I'm really going to really suggest that you start with that article I wrote on tantric masturbation, because that's a great place to start. And just,
yay!
You know, and it's free. And you can and see if
I love it. I love it.
Yes. I actually feel like I'm experiencing, I trust that I'm experiencing these challenges because similar to you, Debbie, you know, in your story, and I feel like I hope that I'll be teaching and sharing this and helping others to heal, you know, through these types of practices as well someday once I, you know, dive in myself. But right now, I'm still at that point.
Absolutely.
You know, and like Debbie said, something that Debbie said earlier that I highly, you know, highly agree with is that she was saying that, you know, healing is a lifelong process.
Yes.
You know, so this is not something that we're just going to get in a day. It's a process. And, it takes, you know, I say all the time, self-love is the foundation and the basis for all healthy relationships, including the relationship with yourself. There's no other way around it. So it's like we have to apply self-love. We have to implement self-love. We have to put ourselves first. We have to nurture ourselves. We have to know that we are worthy of our healing. We are worthy of our orgasmic pleasure. We are worthy of our birthright. We are worthy, and we have to keep telling, even if we have to keep telling ourselves that. I like to say, fake it till we make it. Just keep keep repeating and putting the recorder on repeat. Keep putting it on repeat that, you know, you are worthy and you love yourself and you know, just start creating that.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and I want to say in doing practices are actually going to help you heal your mind and your body and your spirit.
Indeed, I look forward to it, and I didn't catch the very beginning of the show, but I'm glad that I called in and that I received this wonderful information, you know, some of which I know that you already shared.
Yes, and I want to say the beauty about Blog Talk Radio is that when this show is over, you can click it and hit archive show so you can regain whatever you missed.
Ah, and I can hear myself ask this question again.
Yes,
you can.
Yes. You can reinforce your healing, girl.
Yes.
Yes, I love it. I love it. Is there anything else?
No, that's all. I thank you for your time.
Yeah,
thank you so much for calling in. We appreciate you.
Same to you. I look forward. I'll let you know how things work out.
Yes, great. Please do. Let us know.
Great.
Yes.
Great. Thanks for calling Honey Soul Radio.
Bye-bye.
Bye. That was awesome. I'm sending love and healing light energy to that sister right there. Thank you so much once again for calling in. We appreciate you. Now, Debbie, come on, tell us about you. What you got going on? What's your seminars? What's about your book about? Let's go in about Debbie Ward, the Tantra Kiva. Who is she? And what is she doing? What is she doing?
What is she doing? Well, always building, always growing, always evolving. So I just recently launched my new website, DavyWardTantra.com. So you can type in DavyWard.com. DavyWard.com will take you to the same page. But I'm very proud of my new website. One of my hidden talents is as a web designer. So I was able to design most of the website myself with my lovely assistant. Give her a shout-out. Katie, wouldn't be here without you.
Katie. Miss Katie, that's part of your team.
Miss Katie. And my manager, partner, Jennifer. Give her a shout-out.
Hey, Jennifer.
The Davy Ward Tantra team is what we are.
Yes.
So,
team. That's teamwork. That's what I'm talking about.
Yes.
You got to get a team.
Absolutely. So yeah, my website, my primary offerings are personal coaching programs. And so I have three personal coaching programs that I offer for women. One is a 6-month mentorship, and that's where I work with you over a period of 6 months to really take you deep into the sexual healing journey and to support you through the process. And that's a really profound program. And in that, I actually give you and work with you in the secret Tibetan five-element sexual and non-sexual teachings. So those are, again, this is the first time that they've been taught openly in the West. We have permission from Lama Tashi Dundrup of the Shangpa Kagyu lineage to offer these instructions openly. And so I share them in this 6-month program for women. I also have a 4-session coaching program, which is a great, I like to call it my starter kit for those
right.
people that are maybe not wanting to devote 6 months to mentorship, but they definitely want to get at least, you know, the basic practices. And in that, I teach the 4 principles of pleasure, of tantra pleasure. And those are, again, movement, meditation, self-connection, and self-stimulation. So I give you my secret Tibetan tantric sexual pleasure methods, tantric healing methods for healing and releasing sexual trauma and reclaiming your full orgasmic potential. And one thing I do want to say about sexual trauma is something that we often overlook in our culture is that, you know, yes, sexual trauma can be sexual abuse, it can be sexual violation, but it can also be something as simple as hearing negative or threatening messages about our sexuality.
Yes.
So something I like
violation.
To point out. Absolutely.
Uh-huh.
It's an emotional violation, psychic violation. So one thing
right.
I like to point out is that for those of you who have children, you know, if you notice when your children are about 2 or 3, right, when they're about toddlers, they touch their genitals like 24/7, right? They're like all over, they're discovering their bodies. And so oftentimes as parents, we teach them to don't do that. Or that's bad, or good boys or good girls don't touch themselves. And even if you as a parent didn't do that, probably somebody at school or their babysitter or your neighbors told your child that touching their genitals was wrong and bad and dirty and shameful because that's the world we live in. And that is a sexual trauma. That's like one of the first sexual traumas that we'll experience is learning that message that this thing that we're doing, touching our genitals, which for us we're just like totally innocent and it's just like, yay, it's this pleasurable, fun experience. We learn from our culture that is bad and that we're bad for doing it. So that at that age is literally going to imprint in the nervous system as a trauma. It absolutely will. So I've even witnessed some kids being slapped. Right? So that, the nervous system, that's a danger. So when I say sexual trauma, yes, it can be as severe as sexual abuse or rape or, you know, violation, but it can also be as simple as being told when you were 2 years old that touching your genitals is bad. And that is going to affect your sexual experience for the rest of your life.
Yes, it is.
So for that young woman who just called in, you know, some of our aversion to pleasuring ourselves and some of that uncomfortable feeling is when you were two, you were probably going at it and somebody could have walked in the room and said, you, blah, 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 blah. And
bad girl, you're nasty.
Yeah, exactly.
Nasty, bad girl. Oh, that's terrible. You're not supposed to be doing that. That's wrong. That's wrong.
Exactly. Or even if they didn't say that verbally, they, you could have, you know, intuited it or perceived it. So
but then, Debbie, then you're stifling your sexual feelings. You're stifling your very natural sexual expression.
Absolutely, absolutely. And that is what our culture teaches us. And so don't never underestimate the power of cultural conditioning. That is how we learn to be, you know, productive members of society. And we're constantly, like, the human brain is a biological computer. And so we've got software going on in there that's been, you know, introduced to the computer from the time we were born. And a lot of
it has called viruses to the hardware.
Exactly.
Yes.
Seriously. And a lot of it we're unaware of. We're not consciously aware of, which makes it even more insidious and even more difficult to deal with because it's the programs are running, but we're not conscious of the fact that they're running.
Mm-hmm.
So
can identify with it.
Yeah, and so one of the only ways to become aware of the fact that they're operating is to actually, like, is to go and do self-pleasure and acknowledge and recognize, oh, my God, I really don't want to do, oh, my God, I feel disgusting. Well, when you feel those feelings, again, that's a green light. That's perfect. That means that you are coming face-to-face with your cultural conditioning, so keep going and relax and breathe.
Yes, relax, breathe and release.
Relax, breathe, and release. Okay, so what was I talking about? I lost my place here. So we're talking about me and what I do. So I've got a 6-month coaching program, a 4-session coaching program, and then I have a VIP, and that's a VIP one day, and that's where you get to work with me one-on-one, like in person. I can also do those long distance via Skype if necessary, but I really love to work with people one-on-one in person for those VIP days if possible. I also do tantra coaching for couples. I have a few different offerings for that. And then I'm actually offering a Tantra certification program, and we have our 2014 Tantra certification retreat. I'm actually meeting with the retreat
Yay!
Owner today, and we're going to nail down the date. And,
is that in Canada?
I know, it's very exciting. No, it's in the United States. No. I'm based in Western Washington, so I'm an American.
Okay.
My soon-to-be ex-husband was Canadian, and that's why I was in Canada for a period of time, but
okay.
I'm a good old American. Glad to be back in the States. And so it's actually going to be in Western Washington, and I have room for 10 women, but it's a 2-part process. And the first part is a 90-day training, which can be done long distance, so you can be anywhere in the world. I actually have just signed some students in Norway and one in Australia, so you can be anywhere
awesome.
In the world, and I'll work with you one-on-one, and it's a 12-week training. And then the actual certification process is a 3.5-day retreat, which is going to be end of June, beginning of July, and those dates will be posted on my website within the next couple weeks.
Sounds awesome. It sounds so delicious. I'm thinking. I'm over here. My mind is ticking, Debbie. That sounds like a beautiful experience.
It is. I've got testimonials on the website. Many women have grown. So it's so amazing how much growth can happen in 12 weeks. And the other thing I have going on is I'm also a radio show host. I host Better Love and Sex with Davey Ward on Contact Talk Radio Network, and it airs live every Thursday from 7 to 8 p.m. Pacific time. And I interview sex experts and relationship experts from all over the world. A couple weeks ago, I was blessed with the presence of Michael and Holly from Playboy's Swing Show, and they were giving us a scoop on swinger lifestyle and Playboy TV and Playboy Radio. So I was quite honored to have them on as guests. And if you tune in every Thursday, and it's also uploaded as a podcast, so you can subscribe to Better Love and Sex with Davey Ward on iTunes. And then I also have a book called Shake Your Soul Song, A Woman's Guide to Self-Empowerment Through the Art of Self-Pleasure, and that describes the 4 principles of pleasure, movement, meditation, self-connection, and self-stimulation. And I like to call that my Tantra textbook. So that's my textbook that I offer to all of my students during the coaching programs. It's a reference guide. You can get it just to read it, which is an awesome place to start your journey. If you're curious, you're not sure you want to invest in a program, you can get a copy of the book on Amazon. You can get a copy of the book on Amazon or through my website, davywardtantra.com, and begin your journey. And then when you're wanting more in-depth instruction, then many people come for personal coaching programs, or some people just come for coaching programs and start there. So however you want to do it.
Great. I am so honored to have you here. And very briefly, can you give us a history of where you came from and how you got into Tantra?
Wow, so that's a fun story to tell, because I never in a million years expected that I would be teaching Tantra or be a sex educator, because that it was like so out of my frame of reference. So I came from a history of physical abuse. I was aware that I'd been physically abused as a child, though I didn't understand like what that meant. My father, who I loved dearly, passed away. My poor father was troubled and had, you know, a lot of emotional demons and took them out on the family, unfortunately. And so, you know, as a child, one of the things I've noticed in the African American culture, or it used to be, it was like they're whipping. So, like, getting beat with a belt. That's just, and maybe you can verify this, but that was just what they did to their children.
Yeah.
They just beat you with a belt, right? So that was normal. Well, that's actually abuse.
Right. I actually think that's something that we adopted from slavery.
Absolutely. Absolutely. 100%. The violence and the brutality, amen.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. 100%. And, you know, and so there's that, which was part of my father's cultural conditioning, but then also just, like, growing up as a black man during the civil rights movement, and, you know, I mean, it was fucking painful, pardon my French, but it was, right? So he had this emotional stuff going on and these emotional demons, and he took them out on us. And I didn't realize the impact of that until I was much older, because it wasn't just, you know, oh, I got a spanking. It was I was brutally beat several times to the point where I was black and blue and bloody, and that's pretty intense,
okay.
Right? So there was that, and then I was also sexually molested, not by my father, but by an uncle of mine, which I didn't realize until, you know, probably like 3 or 4 years ago, actually, when that trauma started to release from my body, and then I started having the memories arise, and I was like, holy shit, so my whole life makes sense now. So I went through most of my life experiencing the effects of trauma, but not understanding where they came from, and not understanding that what I was experiencing was a natural, very predictable result of experiencing the kind of trauma that I did. And I was a stripper for several years in Detroit. And, you know, just so you know, stripping in Detroit is not like stripping in Vegas. it's not glamorous at all.
Understood.
I don't regret doing it at all, because it gave birth to my movement modality that I teach in the five core practices.
That's right.
An incredible experience. And, you know, And so, like, when I look back, it totally was, like, paving the way for my tantric realization later in life.
Yes.
But it was not glamorous, and there were aspects of it that were absolutely traumatizing, absolutely, especially to a little, like, 19-year-old starry-eyed little kid like I was, right?
Right,
so
right.
Went from that to being going on my spiritual journey, and I became a monk of the Ashaya Order, and I wore only white for 5 years, and I meditated for, you know, 16 hours a day for my tantra, for my monkhood training, and I was taught meditation workshops around the country, and that's what I did. I was a monk. I was a meditation teacher and a monk, and then moved around the country, and then eventually found myself in Hawaii, which is where I eventually aligned with the Tibetan tantric practices. And so when the opportunity to practice Tantra was actually presented to me, I was not looking for it. It came so far out of left field. And B, if it had been presented to me as a way to have better sex or enhance my sexuality, I would have run screaming in the opposite direction.
Why? Why?
So not interested. Like, I was so ignorant about my sexuality and so ignorant about, you know, sacred sexuality. It was not even on my radar, and I didn't have any interest in learning about it. It wasn't like, oh, I want to investigate my sexual. It was just like not even there. I didn't care. I wanted a husband and a white picket fence. That was and a baby. That's what I wanted. I was like 32 or something.
Okay.
I was like, okay, I want a husband and a baby, and that was my life goal, right? But I got Tantra instead. So.
And that's
and
your baby.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Uh-huh.
Sorry, and I have a cat. So it was presented to me as a method or a tool for using human sexual energy to realize enlightenment. It was presented to me as a spiritual path and as a path to enlightenment. And at the time, I was still a monk. So I was very, very committed to my spiritual practice. At the time, I think I was at that point because I was working, right? I had a job and a business and all that. But I was meditating a good 4 to 5 hours a day. You know, that was my life. It was my foundation. So for me, the idea that sex could somehow facilitate more spiritual growth was a fascinating concept. So I was like, okay, well, I'll try it and see what happens. And so I began training in the Tibetan Five Element Sexual Tantras, which is like a high art. I mean, that's like, you know, most people start at beginner level. So I kind of started the path at, you know, at college level and had to work my way backwards.
Okay.
And what drew me to continue the practice was that it was completely different than what I had expected. I had expected some high, like, woo-woo, like, floating off the ground, like, oh, this wonderful spirit. What actually happened was I went into the core of my cultural conditioning and my shame and my guilt and my fear about sexuality. I went into the core of it and exploded it with orgasm. I had never experienced pleasure like that before, and I got to actually witness the process of moving through the experience of numb to pain to pleasure in like one session within minutes over and over and over again. And I trained with a tantric master, so my process was very intense and very quick. And one of the things I like to say is, you know, tantra, my tantric training, I had experiences of the greatest bliss and the greatest pleasure I had experienced ever before, mixed with the most intense and agonizing pain at the same time. So
okay. My
healing journey, it wasn't pretty. It was really, what do they call it, forged through the flames.
Well, I
want to
say, if I could just say something, healing is not pretty. It's not. It's
ugly. No.
It gets down deep. You know, you go down deep. You know, the crying is ugly, the pain is ugly, everything. It's not a pretty thing. But in order for us to get to the other side, in order to get into bliss, into happiness, into joy, we must process it. We must process it. So I want to thank you so much for joining us. Please tell our listeners again how they can find you.
Oh, you can find me at davywardtantra.com or just davyward.com, spelled DEVIWARD.com.
Okay, Davy Ward, we want to thank you for joining us this evening. And also, will there be a chance that we can have you in the near future?
Absolutely, absolutely. Just let me know and we'll make a date.
Well, great. And we want to thank all of you for joining us right here on Honey Soul Radio. Now, one of my tour destinations for 2014 is Devaney Soul Sensual Wellness Retreat in Lake Norman, North Carolina. That's March 14th through the 17th. We're going to enjoy phenomenal speakers, womb wellness education, classes, and seminars concerning sensual feminine health and balance. So contact Jewels of Comfort, JEWELZ of comfort.com, and go to events for more information. It's going to be enlightening, rejuvenating, and fabulous. Thank you for joining us on Honey Soul Radio. Join us Tuesday, February 4th, 2014, for our Valentine's Day edition of Honey Soul Radio. Let's stay together. We are joined by our special guests, the creators of Afro Tantra 101, Darryl and Tina Mooney. They will share how to keep the sexual intimacy and coals burning for a loving relationship and increased orgasmic pleasure and bedroom passion. You don't want to miss it. for all of your fun-loving boudoir accessories, check us out, honeyloveromance.com. We have a Facebook page, facebook.com/honeysoulradio. Read sexy. honeylovromancemagazine.com and live in the sensual and loving the delicious. Now remember, self-love is the foundation and basis for every healthy, loving relationship. Until we meet again, we wish you love, sex, and soul. Good night.
Take it all. Baby, take it all off. I want you the way you came into the world. I don't want to feel no clothes. I don't want to see no panties. And take on that brassiere, my dear. Everybody's gone. We take the receiver off the phone. Because maybe you and me, this night, we're gonna get it on. The love ceremony. You know, I get in these moods. Lord, have mercy on me.